you and I end our week talking about something. Number one, I have been waiting for one of these segments that you and I will get to. Over 30,000 views in total on our offensive deep dive. Tonight we go to defense. It's not that one because you know your boy. If you've been around your boy, you know your boy. I love talking about on-field stuff. I don't like to get into all this, at least some people believe that I do, but I don't really like getting into all of the drama that you and I have to discuss on a day-in, day-out basis. But it is interesting that we always are, during the offseason of football, having to start, and these episodes and these segments and these situations talking about stuff that really doesn't and shouldn't have anything to do with on-field football. The real truth, well, some of you will believe that we should be previewing and having a final preview of LSU being in Omaha if Jay Johnson continues to get his way. Well, he might find himself back there next season. But the offseason always breeds chaos. The offseason for football always breeds what some think are new ideas when they never are. The offseason for football always brings the most change, whether it's a football playoff expansion, whether it is eligibility rules, whether it is coaching changes, whether it is, well, you gambling on the game that you're playing, even though you may be on a team and then you file an injunction or a temporary restraining order and then you become eligible. See, the last one, which is what you and I started the week off in doing, isn't necessarily the norm. Now, tonight, I'm going to speak in a lot of hypotheticals because I can't really say what necessarily has happened. But if this week for college football as a whole has not shown you the massive issues that we have, sure, well, Blake, we've had issues, is what you'll probably say. NIL, portal, coaching changes, it's been the wild, wild west. That is true to a lot of extents. Nothing trumps what happened this week with Cody Campbell and with Brendan Sorsby. Not one thing. And now, as this continues to progress, guys, the worse that this gets, the question I keep asking myself, is Texas Tech going to be the team and institution that ultimately changes the sport forever? Because in case you missed it today, the state of Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, came out with a statement today saying that if the Big 12 does anything to have any irreparable harm towards Texas Tech and its football program, the Attorney General's office of the great state of Texas is going to sue the Big 12. So, in retrospect, needless to say, in retrospect, because Brendan Sorsby is eligible, if the Big 12 takes any action, the state of Texas is going to sue the Big 12. Because of the Brendan Sorsby news, if you do anything to hurt Texas Tech, we're going to come after you. Texas Tech said the same thing. But you know, a lot of people tell me so many different times that social media is nothing but pure toxicity. And to that, I would say, you're right. In the grand scheme of things, social media is very toxic. It really kind of is, even though basically I make a living off of it. But it also has its damn moments. It also has its moments in the sun where information gets put out on social media that really starts asking you questions. You know, last night on this show and last night on Ruffino and Joe's show, I came out and said, it is of my opinion that the national narrative should not be surrounding Brendan Sorsby at the current moment. My take has been, now that we all know that Brendan Sorsby is eligible, The national narrative should be pointed strictly at Cody Campbell, the massive billionaire oil tycoon booster and director of the Board of Regents for Texas Tech. All eyeballs should be directed at him. Now, you can ask yourself the question, well, Blake, I might have not been really with you there because he's just trying to make his school great. He's trying to get his school into the playoff, and I'm sure if this was LSU, you would be doing the exact same thing. Well, there's a couple of things to that. Number one, I'm not the director of the Board of Regents for the university. I'm not a multi-billionaire, even though I wish I was. I'm not a multi-billionaire oil tycoon. But you know what I'm not either? I'm not also giving millions of dollars to political figures like AG's Ken Paxton. Now, I'm going to say allegedly because I did not look this up by myself, but I saw it on social media that Cody Campbell, the guy who is funding all of what Texas Tech is doing in athletics, well, some campaign finance reports came out of what Cody Campbell and his wife have been doing politically. So the AG comes out today and says that if you do anything to hit or hurt Texas Tech, we're going to sue you. And yet, Twitter did what Twitter always does. And it goes and looks at the campaign finance reports for Ken Paxton. And wouldn't you know it, the total sum, at least from this report, the total sum that Cody Campbell has given to the Attorney General of Texas is $2,938,309. And I ask myself the question, when does law enforcement step into this? When does anybody with a backbone step into this? Because the way that I see this is very simple. You have a rogue, massive billionaire tycoon that is funding his athletic program. He is the director of the Board of Regents, for what it's worth. And in funding Texas Tech, he's also funding a young man who literally did the one thing that you can't do and people have gone to jail for. And that is betting on the sport that pretty much in the game that you're playing in. I keep hearing from Texas Tech that Brendan Sorsby has mental health issues. So yeah, as Cody Campbell said this week, you know, the one thing that you should do is pay him more money when he gets out of self-induced rehab if he is eligible. And you've already admitted to cheating and saying that the only way that I am going to pay Brendan Sorsby is if he plays for Texas Tech. But as billionaires and rich people often do, they have, and really not even billionaires, people with money or people with power use that political power to get what they want. You know, I'm pretty confident, coming from the background that I come from, I'm pretty confident. Now, I don't have any, so for legality's sake, so I don't get sued, I don't have any concrete evidence that any of this happened. But coming from the background that I came from, there are just hard-pressing questions that I would love to know. Like, why did the Attorney General get involved? Now, you could say, well, Blake, he's defending a school that's inside of his state. Makes total sense. But it also asks the question, did Cody Campbell get involved here? Did Cody Campbell get involved in asking the Attorney General that he and his lovely wife gave $3 million to in a campaign finance report? Did he ask the Attorney General to get involved here? Because, hey, I gave you $3 million. You better do me this favor. Those are the questions that I start asking. I don't know if this sport, quite frankly, can recover until guardrails are put in place from situations like this. Guys, this is changing the sport in front of your eyes. Of the week of June the 8th, the sport in college athletics has changed forever. Forever. Every single little thing that you and I will discuss about LSU or Ruffino and Josho has been changed forever this week. How do I know? Well, because it appears that you have a rogue booster that is using political influence that he has in the $3 million that he gave to an attorney general for that attorney general to go and defend Texas Tech in a case which, by the way, why is the attorney general getting involved in? You know, the last time that I checked, the great state of Texas doesn't allow gambling. They don't allow sports gambling. From what it would appear, Brendan Sorsby was using proxies in other states to place bets for him while he was in the state of Texas, which is also illegal. So I asked a simple question. If Brendan Sorsby was doing something illegal, shouldn't the attorney general get involved in that? If Cody Campbell literally broke the rules federally that was passed down from the House settlement case that brought in the College Sports Commission, that there cannot be pay for play, which he admitted to on an open microphone, when does any form of enforcement come to pass? I guess very rich people don't face the same consequences that you and I do. But I leave this in asking, and this is no, and I'm going to use multiple names here so that not to offend anybody. What would happen if this were Gordon McKernan? What would happen if this were Ty Graves? What would happen if this were Brandon Landry? What would the national narrative be? Holden Spott is a name that came up during the football situation. What if a massive booster at LSU was getting Liz Merrill or Jeff Landry to fight those cases? You know, the funny thing is, we already have some kind of proof of what would happen. When Governor Jeff Landry got involved in all of this Lane Kiffin, Brian Kelly, Scott Woodward situation, and he fired Scott. Guys, he fired Scott Woodward. He had Brian Kelly fired. The whole college football world pointed the finger at Jeff Landry. It was going on Pat McAfee. He was going on all of these different shows that he should have never gone on. And the things that he kept talking about, it was the national narrative. Well, who would want to go to LSU because of the governor? And now, the same pointing finger at a school in Texas Tech that, quite honestly, I don't know if any laws have been technically broken here. That's for an investigative body to go and decide themselves. But it seems like to me, someone coming from that background, seems like multiple laws have been broken. And yet the national narrative, you know what they're talking about right now? On Counterparts to Rivals to 24/7 Sports. I'll even throw 24/7 Sports in there. To Yahoo, to CBS, to ESPN. You know what they're talking about right now? They're not talking about Cody Campbell. They're not even wanting to remotely point a finger at him. They're asking him to go on podcasts because they think it will be good for their show. No. How about we all have a little bit of integrity and say there's a chance that there have been laws that have been broken here? Now, the way that I see it, and I tweeted this out earlier today, you cannot convince me, not even remotely close, you cannot convince me that a multi-billionaire who gave $3 million to an attorney general didn't pick up the phone and call that attorney general and say, fix this. You can't convince me of it, because you and I both know, as you and I sit in middle to low America, that would never be able to happen to us. So is this probably something politically that we should not even be talking about on a sports show? Probably. Because this is going to change the sport. This is going to change how LSU and all of these schools in the SEC and Big Ten and ACC, it's going to change how everything is governed moving forward. This is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Everything that you knew about college athletics died this week. Everything. Do you want to know how significant this Brendan Sorsby thing has gotten? It's the camel that will break the back. And to some degree, I feel as if that people are allowing it to happen because, as all of us probably need it to happen, it kind of has to happen. It's like the dad that's sitting in his recliner and his two sons start fist fighting, and the mom gets up to tell him to break it up, and he goes, no, 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 no. They got to let this one, they got to fight this one out. They got to settle this on their own. Well, in settling it on their own, hopefully this finally brings guardrails. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the share button. Share to Facebook, share to all those groups, share to everywhere that you know. We greatly appreciate you doing that. I have come to a decision. We are not going to be going live on Facebook moving forward. Unless it is a massive game or a massive post game, we will not be going live to Facebook. Just being completely blunt with you, I do not agree with what they're doing to our to me or the page. They haven't really done anything to the page yet. Oh gosh. But I got hacked in there just, you know, being crazy. And a lot of you have just gone ahead and gone over to YouTube anyway. So there it is. We're going to stay on YouTube. But I need you to do me a favor. Share to all those groups. Share to everywhere you know. We are live. People have been asking that are watching on Facebook. We're here, baby. We're not going anywhere. So share on Facebook. Subscribe down below. We greatly appreciate it. And wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. I see that we have a super chat in here from Dawson. A $5 super chat. He says, Blake, do you think Jay will go after Trey Hossie, the first baseman from Louisiana Tech? He played high school baseball in Monroe. I don't know. I don't know. Do I think that they will keep eyes on and see what happens and go from there? Yes. You know, do you go after Jason Walks? Are you able to land him? It seems like, you know, I talked about this last night. Do you land him over maybe a Tennessee or a Florida? Then you have Beano. I mean, because you could put Beano at first base. You could put Walks in the outfield with William Patrick. Does Nathaniel Davis wind up coming to campus? You have options. I don't know. I don't know. The real thing that you and I are going to talk about in reference to baseball portal here tonight is I see all of you talking about Steven Milam, what he put on Instagram. I'm going to need to see him come back. Do I think he would make more money at LSU than what he would make in the draft right now? Yes. Do I think that that would move Dawson Park to second or third? Yes, if he were to return. I'm going to need to see Steven Milam come back. I don't know if he's coming. They did a farewell tour. So I don't know. Just we'll see. Do I think that you have a decision with Steven Milam soon? Relative, and I say soon, like not like, oh, Blake Ruffino said it's coming down tonight. I didn't say that. Yes, I think you'll have a decision soon on what he intends to do. I think by the actions of the way that LSU is recruiting, it should tell you what they think of what's going to happen in the outfield. Jay Brown's coming back with a 5 for 5. Y'all didn't like a Subway deal. It does. Please read a book That's not what the 5 for 5 is for. I don't care what anybody tells you. That's not how this is working. And I don't think Jake Brown's going to pass up $750,000 more dollars. Yes, indeed. All right, a couple of comments here. How you know I did that when my boys would fight? Because, I mean, it's legitimately what needs to happen. We need to let this Brendan Sorsby thing be fought out in open court. I hope the Big 12 does do something to Tech. They get, you know, they start fighting it out, and you get this legislation passed. Do I think the legislation sucks from Ted Cruz? Yeah, guys, it sucks. It's not that good. Are there really good things in there? Yes, like 5 for 5, one-time transfer rule unless your coach leaves. Like, yes, I do believe that there are good things in there. He also has in there that that Congress take over control. Idiot. No, that shouldn't pass. That shouldn't pass. Congress should not be able to micromanage college athletics. I'm sorry. And I think Ted Cruz is in over his head on this. So, yeah. Stephen Young says, what about the guy from USC? Yeah, you're talking about Lopez. Well, there's been 4 from USC. But Augie Lopez, the catcher, last year hit 270 in the Big Ten, hit 19 home runs. He's going to be a hot commodity. You have 2 really good catchers. I think his name will be massively hot. I do not know if LSU will – let me just say this. Let's see. Do I think that you would – you know, could you move Cerner to first? I don't know. Jay would love to have him, though. Who wouldn't? David Woodard with a – oh, no super chat. He says, I say keep this story going, the court of public opinion, because it will force Texas Tech to act and do the right thing. I hope you're right. I just don't think that they will do it. They will fight this to the end. Noah Mason, who is always watching in Plano, Texas, comes to us via Twitter. Do us a favor, everybody on Twitter, hit that retweet button. Where is everybody watching from tonight? You in the 985, the 225, the 337, the 504, the 318, 31 grade, or are you outside the state representing this state from not being inside the state? All right, one more, then we got to get rolling here. Spectrum Wellcare, what's up, bud? He says, Paxton getting some kickbacks, LOL. It seems that there are some very improper situations that are going on here. Guys, he gave him $3 million. You're going to have to convince me that, and I'm not the court system. You're going to have to convince me that Cody Campbell didn't call Ken Paxton and be like, yeah, bro, if they come after us, you're going to have to sue them. Come on, guys. Come on. Like, do y'all really believe that that didn't happen? Like, I am speculating here. I don't know. But I can't be convinced otherwise. It's how politics works. It's how politics works. So it is what it is. All right. Let me get to a quick break. Need to talk about what we are doing with our friends and partners over at Go24/7. Use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. You'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. If you are really interested about what's going on with this baseball portal cycle, you've noticed what we've been doing over there. You had the Beano Waters. You know who LSU is targeting, and you know it first and fast. So go over to Go24/7 today. Use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. Zach Nagy, Andre Champagne are doing fantastic work over on the board as well. Go over there. Use the promo code. Come be a part of what we are building over at Go24/7. Let me get to a quick break. We'll talk about the baseball portal. We'll do a football defensive deep dive. I think that this is going to be a really fun show. Stay with us for it.
He will sell your house and find you anew. Well, Tyler's the man, he's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dreams or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red Stick. Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month and also doing those $99 tune-up promotion. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today, give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to their website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com, where your comfort is their top priority.
We're back!
So during the break, we had some massive breaking news coming out of the transfer portal. Former Florida second baseman Cade Curlin, who, you know, over the last couple of seasons maybe didn't live up to what he did the first two seasons at the University of Florida, has committed to LSU. Cade Curlin is one of those SEC bats that everybody in the country has been intrigued by. Now, as a freshman in 2023, he hit 17 home runs. He followed up that in 2024, hitting 14. Last year, only played in 14 games, got hurt last season, and his season was cut short. But this season hit 279 for the Gators while hitting 9 home runs and having 33 RBIs, kind of coming back off of the injury that he had. A young man that a lot of people believe coming out of an injury can be a massive bat for you in the upcoming season. Now, you still have draft you have to worry about. There's a lot of things with Cade Curlin that you would potentially have to worry about. But now LSU has gone and gotten two middle infielders in this week's status. So you had Dawson Park that committed within the week as well. Now you have Cade Curlin, and I still believe that they will be talking to and going after guys like Ty Cunas, who I still think there's a lot of massive mutual interest there. Well, with the commitment with Cade Curlin, the question becomes, can he get back to that status when you saw him as a true freshman? You know, as a true freshman, you saw Cade Curlin a lot. He played in 68 games and over 260 at-bats. He had 17 home runs, had 78 hits, and along with those 17 home runs, he had 17 doubles. Now, his sophomore year was not necessarily met with probably the success that he wanted, but still had tons of success, hitting 14 bombs, had 9 total extra base hits, and 44 RBIs. The real question here is, what is going to happen with Cade Carlin draft-wise? Is there anything there that can happen? What is he like coming out of the injury? Now, this year, he hit 9 home runs, hit 279 with 33 RBIs, but I think that this is a potentially massive pickup for you. I do think that that signifies, potentially, what maybe Jay is thinking about in a subtraction with Steven Milam. You go out and get Dawson Park. You go out now and get Cade Carlin. Let's see what happens there. We don't completely know what's going to happen there. But you went out and got 2 middle infielders. And by the way, you're still after guys like Ty Cunas. And you're still having conversations with him. So do you one of them move to third base? There's a lot of conversations that you can have there. But the injury to Cade Carlin is one that I know that he probably wishes that he could have come out, like I'm going to pull this up. He could have come back from at a very stronger way going into this season. Now, the injury that he dealt with was distinct injuries throughout his college baseball career. He had an oblique injury this year. He battled through an oblique injury this year. So even in an injury that he had this year, he still came very close to hitting double-digit home runs. But in 2025, he did have shoulder surgery in 11 games that season, then dislocated his left shoulder again that kept him out of last year. In 2024, he battled through a hand fracture. So the last 3 years of Cade Carlin, he had a hand fracture, still hit a lot of bombs, still did a lot of really big things. Last year, he was out a lot, missed all of the season pretty much. And this year was dealing with an oblique, still played through it to some regard, and was able to have a lot of success. The question will be here, number one, how fresh can he be? Is he going to be injury prone? Can he go through a season not going through injuries? And if he can he get back to what he's ultimately chasing, guys, which is that true freshman season? This has the potential to being a absolutely massive pickup for you. Absolutely massive. He is a type of player. Cade Carlin is a type of player that, number one, Jay Johnson loves, but number two, that fits the mold and system of what you did 2 seasons ago when you went out and got very high-quality, experienced bats. So I do know that the injuries, which they should, very much worry you. They should. I'm not going to deny that. Like, I don't think anybody should deny that. But if he doesn't, and he's able to get and play to his potential. Okay, thank you. This has very high risk. Also, it might not have necessarily very high risk. It has risks, but has also very high reward. Guys, you can't replace, and I'm just going to do this really quickly. I shouldn't be doing this right now, but in happenstance. The situation with Cade Carlin, a 5'11", 195-pound second baseman, by the way. Guys, he has, in his SEC career, he is approaching over 1,000 at-bats in his SEC career. You can't replace that level of experience. He has been here. In the 4 years that he was at Florida, as an example, guys, he had a normal average of 276. The second year that he played at Florida, his sophomore year, and dealt with a broken hand, he hit 245. Then last year, still hit a lot better. He hit 316. This has a lot of reward for you. I think it's a great pickup. Now, the question will be, what does that say? And I know that it's going to be the question that you have. What does that say for Steven Milam? I don't know. I have no clue. If you're asking me my opinion, okay? My opinion, not factual, not sourced. My opinion is it seems like that he may go to the draft. That's my opinion. Do I believe that the Milams have a decision to make that he could come back and make more money at LSU than what he would make going into the draft? Yes, he 1,000% will. And God forbid you hold on to Cade Kerlin, you get Dawson Park, and you keep on Stephen Milam. Guys, your infield's pretty disgusting. It's very disgusting. It has a lot of SEC experience in it, and it has guys that can walk the ball out of the ballpark and have a lot of pop and a lot of power with a lot of really good and elite defense. You're getting back to who you are as a team. So I don't know what's going to happen with Stephen Milam. I don't think they know. You know, I saw the social media buzz about, hey, he's coming back, he's doing this, he's doing that. Okay, maybe. Maybe he is. But I just sit in a situation here, too, where I'm going to kind of need to see it. I hope Monster Milam returns. I really do. I hope the feeling that I have and people that I talk to is wrong. Nobody will be happier that Stephen Milam is returning more than myself. Believe you me. Why wouldn't you want Stephen Milam returning? A guy who plays elite defensive shortstop and can, in all 3 years that he's been here, is going to walk the ball out of the park double-digit times and hit sub-290. Why in the good wide world wouldn't anybody want that? I just don't know if that's what he's going to do. I see the trolling. I see all, like, I get all of that. I don't know. Does it signify what Jay is thinking, though, would be the bigger question. Because Jay's not waiting. And I know that you are taking a risk on Cade Kerlin because of the injuries the last 3 years. I understand it. But man, if he, you know, high risk, high reward situation here. I think it's a really good pickup. I think it's a fantastic pickup for you, considering you're getting a guy with over, technically, I say he's around 1,000 at-bats in the SEC. He's right at 900, pretty much. You can't teach that level of experience. And God forbid he stays healthy, he could do a lot of damage here. He has the power to hit 15 to 17 home runs in the SEC. He has that. Can he get back to that will be the question. Even coming off of the shoulder surgery, as an example, guys, he still hit 316 in the SEC in a quote-unquote down year for him. So does that those injuries sustain, or maybe he doesn't have as much power because of it? I don't know. I like it. Because I just don't think you teach that level of experience. But you go out and get a guy that's historically been a second baseman, potentially could play third. Does Stephen Milam return? If he does, great. If not, Dawson Park will be there. You have Jack Ruckert, and I still don't think you're done in the infield, by the way. I know for a fact that you're still having conversations with Ty Cunas, as an example as well. So how this all shakes out, we will find out. But I really do like this addition of Cade Kerlin to Jay Johnson's team going into this. I see a couple of comments in here, too, I want to probably get to in just a moment. But I think this is a great addition, a very great addition. Before I do get to some comments on this breaking news, here's what I'd say. I don't think Jay would make a move like this if he wasn't anticipating something. In reference to the draft, okay, this is where I wanted to end this here too. Cade Kerlin draft projection. Let's get an actual ranking here for his projection. So Cade Kerlin is projected a day two or day three guy in the upcoming draft. He is viewed as a late round guy. So I don't know if how high of a risk that he is. Maybe he just wants to take the money and move on from college baseball. Maybe he is in that situation. I don't know. We will find out more as that situation goes on. I think that you make a decision having at the current moment the thought process that you want to play one more year before you go. Defensively, he's really good, man. Kay Curlin is very good defensively. Like, if you just go type in on Twitter, Kay Curlin defense, or Kay Curlin makes great play, he is going to pop up all over the place. He is a really good second baseman. You know, I think of the play that he made against Troy this year that turned a double play that was absolutely massive for them. You know, in the Troy series, they were down 16-5, if I remember correctly. And bases were loaded, and he hit a grand slam oppo. Like, this dude's got, he's got light tower power. He can really swing it. So, injuries, we shall see. But I think this kid can do a lot of damage for you, and I think that he can. You know, I think of the Georgia series, too, by the way. I think in that series they were tied, and he hit a massive bomb late in that game, opposite field, right center field, to break that open for Florida. I mean, just absolutely massive. This dude can really, really swing it. Injury still will be a factor here as well. All right. Let's see a couple of these comments here. David Woodard says, if Milam comes back, he is the leader of the clubhouse taking Jake Brown's spot. I think that's big for the team to gel. That is, if he is going to come back. I don't know. Signals would point to that not necessarily being the case. Look, here's just the truth. Ty Cunas, you know, early on in the process, they were after Chris Ramirez. You have Kay Curlin. Let's just see how that one pans out for what it's worth. You're still going after dudes in the infield. I think that should send a message to Josh Pearson, Jack Ruckert, and everybody. Are the signs pointing to him not returning? Yes. I mean, that's what the signs are turning. Here's what let's just rip the Band-Aid off. I think the Milam camp has a pretty good idea of where they want to go and what they want to do. Do I think they fully know? Not really. Not completely. So we shall see. We shall see. But if you go and get three infielders, like if you get Cunas, if you got Ramirez, like if you get another one, guys, that it's over. Like, because you're stockpiling at that position and you have some very talented freshmen coming in. Like, I don't know if Menatee, who is going to be a freshman coming in, a lot of people think that he's Trey Morgan-esque with the bat, not the glove, but with the bat. And they don't know if he can't play first for you. So, I mean, those are where the signals and signs are pointing here. But look, I mean, Ty Cunas as an example, like, he's someone that I think that you need to 100% keep your eyes out on. The Maryland shortstop this past year in 56 games hit 16 doubles, 5 home runs, 39 RBIs. Guys, that's really good numbers for a true freshman, regardless of who it is. And he can flat out fly. 6'7", 60. I mean, he could play second. Curlin could play third. He could play third. Curlin could play second. What do you do with Chris Ramirez? At a Cal Baptist. Like, what do you do with him? You go and get three guys with Dawson Park being in that mix, a top 40 prospect in next year's draft. Like, I just don't know if Dawson Park is coming in here as a top 40 prospect. I don't think he's coming to LSU as a top 40 prospect to move positions. Now, does he want to be a team guy to win? Can he play second or third? Whatever's best for the team if Milam wants to return? I'm sure. I'm sure, knowing what it seems that his personality is. But I'm sure that he has a pretty good idea of where he's going to want to play. So we'll see. We will see. Stephen Young says, Curlin did serious damage against LSU and Omaha in 2023. Oh, significant damage. Now, the thing with him too, Stephen, in that is that he hasn't been able to get back there, right? And That's really the thing. Is he really good defensively? Yes. Because he showed you in the postseason this year that he's got light tower power. I mean, he hit 279, and that will turn some people off here, but it doesn't really turn me off. I mean, like, because he hit 316 the year before. He can hit the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, he just gives you so much ability at second base. You go and get Dawson Park. You go and get Curlin. Does he want to go to the draft? You know, he's expected to be a late day two, early day three guy. Like, I think he'll get more money at LSU. And that's why he makes the decision. That's why he makes the decision there. I think it's a really good pickup for you. Because at worst, here's the worst thing for Kay Curlin. He does get banged up and he's out for a little while. But the worst that he did in the SEC was, let's call it what it is, hit double-digit home runs while hitting 280. I'll take it. I 1,000% will take it in the SEC. And the thing that I think that I love the most about it is it's proven. You got 4 years worth of a sample size of it. Ramirez, Kunis, do you continue to go down that path? Well, that will ultimately be the question. Just saw an X that Trey Martin is now on campus. Lane Kiffin needs to work his magic. Oh, he is. Believe you me. You know what I do think will be very funny about that, by the way? You know what is very funny about that? Is that what I think is funny about the whole Trey Martin thing. This is going to get me in trouble. Did this dude just crop this dude? Frank Wilson didn't have a running back committed in last year's class. And now you could potentially have three. That's what I know. Look, to wrap up this baseball thing, do I still think that you're going after dudes in the infield? Yes. Kay Curlin, I mean, the only other thing, could he go into the draft? Sure. Guys, he's been playing college baseball for 4 years. Is he a draft risk? For sure. For sure. I mean, you never know those decisions. Do you take the commitment? Yes, you take the commitment. I hope that he comes here. I think he'd add a lot of value to you and a lot of value to your team. Do I worry about him going to the draft in the, at the end of all of this? Yes, I do, because he's been here for 4 years. But I don't think you make that move and commitment if you don't have it in the back of your mind, like, hey, if I don't get the money that I want. Right? Jason Walks. So here, look, here would be the three players right now from a position player standpoint that I'm keeping my eyes on. As we talked about Jason Walks, we talked about Kunis, we've talked a lot last week about Chris Ramirez, why that's just, Chris Ramirez. Yeah, we talked about him a lot last week. I think that those are the three guys that I'm going to keep my eyes out on. Hotchkiss, we'll keep our eyes out on. Dude, what do they want to do at first base? I don't know. I don't know right now. So we'll see. All right. Let me get to a quick break. When we come back, LSU football defensive deep dive. Stay with us. Guys, I want to talk to you about our good friends over the Drake Williams Law Firm and Drake Title Company. Are you facing tough times due to an injury from a car accident, navigating the complexities of divorce, or purchasing a new home? At the Drake Williams Law Firm and Drake Title Company, they understand the challenges you're going through, and they are here to help. The lawyer team of Ernie Drake III, Ryan J. Williams, and Summer Vignair, along with Morgan Daniels, have the experience and proven track record to give you that peace of mind. Give them a call today at 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600 to schedule a free consultation at their brand new office located in historic downtown Ponchatoula. They're also doing a special, the AYS special. If you're refinancing or closing on a home in Southeast Louisiana, request the Drake Title Company to handle your closing. If you mention Blake Ruffino and AYS, you're going to receive a $400 discount on title fees. Again, give them a call at 985-386-7600.
let them know that Blake Ruffino sent you on by.
When your business, your farm, or your equipment needs fuel, you need someone that you can trust. At Crump Fuel, they deliver quality gasoline, diesel, and lubricants with honest service and local pride across South Louisiana and South Mississippi. From construction sites, marinas, convenience stores, and trucking companies, all the way down to generators and everyday operations, Crump Fuel keeps you rolling. Crump Fuel is family-owned and family-operated. With high-quality and dependable delivery, they're always going to bring that competitive pricing. Call Crump Fuel today at 985-229-4976 or visit them over at crumpfuel.com. That's 985-229-4976 or visit them at crumpfuel.com today. Crump Fuel, where they're fueling the Gulf South in the right way.
Guys, you might know my good friend Carol Falls and all the great service that he provides over at State Farm. He is your good neighbor after all. But did you know State Farm has surprisingly great rates as well? Along with the great neighbor service, State Farm agent Carol Falls has surprisingly great rates for everyone inside the state of Louisiana. So call him today at 985-395-4300, 985-395-4300 for all of those surprisingly great rates on auto, home, and life insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, and individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to the State Farm underwriting requirements.
We're back! All right.
You know, I don't know. Now that I think about it, we're already 53 minutes into the show, and I have to do something after this. We might punt on the LSU defensive deep dive because you and I are unfortunately it's going to take me about 30 to 35 even 40 minutes to do this deep dive. I think we should set it aside for when we need content and we need to talk about it, so we might just do that. We can pivot and let's just do this to end the week. Hashtag Ask Blake inside the chat. You can do that. We'll put some things on there. We'll go through some comments here before we get out of here. Here's what I'd say. This has kind of been a massive baseball podcast, which I absolutely love and adore. So thoughts, questions, concerns, put them inside the chat. Hashtag Ask Blake. You know, super chats go to the front. This is what we're going to do. Here's where I think LSU baseball is at the current moment. Where I think LSU baseball is at the current moment is that they have a very solid sophomore class that's rising up. I do think that you have an extremely talented freshman class coming in as well. I do think one or two of those guys are going to make massive impacts. Do you get Nathaniel Davis on campus? Guys, could he be a little bit of a Curiel for you? I think he's that gifted. He's a top 230 player coming out of high school, so we will see. I think you're much more better positioned in the infield specifically if you do what I think you're going to do, and I think you're bringing in some really talented players. Guys, Beano Waters is a stud. Omar Serna is probably going to hit a lot of home runs for you next season. Cade Aaron Beatty, while catching, hit 18 for you this past season. You have a lot of power and a lot of dudes at the plate that can flat out hit the baseball. On the mound is where I start asking questions. You bring in Landon Hood, and you're going to have a very massive developmental offseason for a lot of these guys. William Schmidt, Kaysen Evans, what is Cooper Moore going to be? Cooper Williams. All of these guys are going to have to take massive leaps and massive steps. Are you done in going and getting arms from the portal? No, you're not done. Do you have some elite Marcos Paz? Do you have some very good arms coming in? Like we've talked about Colby Stringer a lot. I think Colby Stringer is very talented and can find himself in a, I think he could push for being a Sunday dude. Like, I think he's that special. At worst, he is a long relief guy that comes out of the pen that just throws strikes and throws the ball hard. He has been very good. Very good. Like, let me give an example of Colby Stringer. There was a team that he played in Mississippi this year that had, of the nine guys that he faced in a lineup, eight of them were going to play D1 baseball in Mississippi. Two of them were committed to Mississippi State. Two of them were committed to Ole Miss. And by the way, he had a no-hitter going through six innings. Six and two-thirds innings. So, he's faced elite talent, and he's done really well against elite talent. So, we shall see. In reference to pitching, you need left-handed arms. You cannot have too many left-handed arms. So it is what it is there. All right. Steven says, hashtag ask Blake, is there another left-handed pitcher Jay is going after? We will see. You know, Suchy is somebody from UConn that committed to Florida State. I think that they would have definitely wanted him. He's going to Florida State. I just don't know if there's a lot, you know, here's what I've noticed in this year's portal. Outside of like Landon Hood, do I think that there's some good arms in the portal? Yeah. Do I think that there's like game change? Like, I think Landon Hood is the best pitcher in the portal. Well, bar none. I don't know if there's anybody like around his, I don't want to say around his status. I just don't know if there's a lot of high-end dudes that you're targeting. Now, could some guys get in, you know, lose in Omaha this weekend and then they go into the portal? Very well could. Is that maybe what you're waiting on? Very well could be the case. Very well could be the case. You need to go get left-handed pitching. You need to go get it now. Steven Fontenette, I hope I said that right, on YouTube says, how do we feel about everyone crystal balling Easton and Albert to go elsewhere other than LSU? Well, here's the thing. Easton's already been crystal balled and to Texas. So I don't know what that really means. I don't, you know what I mean? In reference to Albert Semien, it's a long way to go. It's a long, long way to go. You know, A&M has tried multiple times to pull guys like Lamar Brown. Unable to do it. Long way to go. I wouldn't give up on Semien just yet. Even if he commits to A&M, I would not give up on LSU just yet. Not at all. Is Mikey Bell still someone we would pursue? I believe so, yes. Now, do I think that if you, like, say Milam enters, Kunis comes in, or Milam exits, Kunis comes in, you know, we'll see. Mikey Bell's being pursued by every team in the SEC. And to be completely blunt with you, the team spending the most money in the portal, a.k.a. Texas, you just shoved in a locker. So they are going to have a little bit more money to spend than you at the current moment. We will see there. We will see. But I would love Mikey Bell. He's going to be a hot commodity for somebody. Steven Young says, how about a left-handed pitcher that may enter? I think now you're a little bit more on the right track there, Steven. I think you're more on the right track there. Yes. Yes. Do I think that there are some guys that are in Omaha that are young, talented guys that potentially will enter the portal? Yes. Do I think that there's a massive outfielder that is still playing in Omaha that very well could enter the portal? Yes. Like, let me just say this. Do I think LSU is done in the outfield? No. Do I think that there is a potential top 15 pick that is a freshman? Let me not say top 15 pick. Do I think that there is a young man whose team is still playing in Omaha that a lot of people project that can be a top 15 to first round pick that a lot of people anticipate for him to enter the portal? Yes. Would you spend the rest of your budget on him? I think a lot of people would. Because this kid can flat out play. So we'll see. Chris Lomax says, if you go to Go247, you'll find out. That is true. That is very, 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 very true. All right. We're out of here. I'm sorry we punted on the LSU deep dive. I thought we'd have more time here. Well, we didn't. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.